Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it.
Welcome back.
Hey, if you're an associate that is kind of on the fence of acquisition versus startup, in the most recent episode, I was talking about the pros and cons of startups and acquisitions. And one of the things I mentioned was this. I think I mentioned a Dr. David. Maybe I didn't mention my name. I'll mention his name. Dr. David, he's in the Midwest. He had actually acquired his father's practice. And the cool thing is that when he did his startup, he did it because the former practice was not his. Simply his words were, it wasn't mine. It was my father's. But I love that practice that my father had, but it was never mine. And the cool thing was is that when he opened up his own practice, not only did the new did we develop obviously new systems and protocols and like things inside of the new practice. And he had like a path, he had systems in there. He then came to us and said, hey, can you help train my other team at the other practice? Because these systems are that better. So that much better in his new practice to carry back to the old practice. So keep that in mind as you begin to go down that path of the practice ownership path. So today, real estate. Listen, if you're thinking of calling the number on the for sale sign or for lease sign for your new dental practice, please do not hold the phone. This episode, we're uncovering the hidden traps in dental real estate that no one ever talks about. Join us as we dive deep in the secrets of the savvy real estate decisions that could save your practice thousands of dollars even before you open your doors. So go grab your notepad and let's make that dream practice become a reality. Right, one of the biggest things that you're ever going to, decisions that you're going to make in your career is going to be on the topic of the real estate. This is going to be one of the biggest things. Not only is it going to be a decision that you're making immediately in your startup, but the decision that you make in real estate, not just the physical location, but the transaction itself may have an effect in the future. So when you're looking at this from the lens of a long term, and one of the things that we do here, Mike, who's our director of consulting, who guides so many of our clients so well on this real estate phase, is we're not just looking at the transaction today to say, oh, what are the deal points today? But what if you need to sell your practice 5 to 10 years from today, or you desire to sell your practice 5 to 10 years from today? It's so important to ensure that you have those deal points that can help protect you in the event or unlikely event that you need to sell because you just need to get out, or simply you're like, man, I'm ready to sell. I've got this great opportunity. You don't want to be on the hook forever, especially when it comes to a specific lease. So it's so important that the lens as you're negotiating real estate is not just what does it look like today? What's simply included today? What's my rent rate? But what happens 5 to 10 years from today when I decide to leave this space? So a number of elements that we're going to talk through today is on this real estate process. And one of the big things that I'll tell you right now is when it comes to real estate, I always say this, avoid chasing the pretty buildings in the tallest signs. Hey, listen, everywhere that you're going to see, whether it's on Facebook groups and things like that, is location, location, location. But listen, I don't disagree with the ideal location. The best location can help drive hundreds of patients to your practice, but it doesn't have to be the busiest street corner, nor do you need to have like the largest neon sign pointing down to your practice, because consumers don't consume dentistry that way. The big thing when it comes to real estate, so think about this. Think about Starbucks. Think about McDonald's, and imagine those locations. They're usually always on the busy street corner because of what they sell. They are selling, unfortunately today, they're selling like $7 coffees or whatever those drinks are. I have three daughters and they're always asking me for Starbucks. I'm always thinking like, yeah, here's like $5. And they're like, that doesn't even buy me a tall or a small or whatever that it is. So my daughter's like, Dad, I need more than that. I'm like, for a drink? Yeah, reality. So expensive drinks, cheap burgers. They are on a street corner for a reason. They're on the busiest intersection for a reason. They will pay premium for that real estate because of what they're selling, which is something that's very, very quick. People are making quick decisions based upon I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, as opposed to the dentistry. Yes, people come in for emergencies. Yes, emergency dentistry does exist. If you think about your patients that you see right now, if you're an associate, are many of them coming in saying, I was just driving by and, you know, I was just in the mood for a crown or a root canal today. Just look friendly. And I'm guessing none of you have ever worked in a dental practice that has a drive-through window. Now, truth be told, we've had a client that would lease a space with a drive-through window, but we took it out, obviously, because dentistry is not delivered. That would be an interesting concept, I guess. Dentistry, fast dentistry. It wouldn't be fast food dentistry. It'd be fast dentistry. So many of you maybe have like very fast hands, but I don't think yet you're going to have a drive-through window to deliver dentistry. So if you want to save, in some cases, 20 to 30% on your real estate costs, you could be a block away. Having a marketing strategy is not just about like the busy sign. Now, the caveat to this is if you've got a rich aunt or uncle or just family members or a friend who said, I'm going to build you the largest sign that says greatest dentist ever. Cool. Take it. But no one's ever, I could point to and say, do we have clients that said, I have signage? Great. Yes. None of them come to me and say, my success is because of the sign. My success is because of the street corner. Their success is because they have a marketing strategy. So I'm not poo-pooing the idea of go in an obscure place where no one can find you. No, I'm just saying if you look a block or so off those busy street corners, you may find yourselves 20 or 30% savings in terms of your real estate. So don't just simply like go towards the busy street corner with the largest signs and think, I've checked the box. This will drive patients to me, because you still need to have a marketing strategy. I call that the icing on the cake. You can't just have icing. I mean, I guess you could, but without the cake, like there's nothing to put the icing on top of. I would say if you can get the right economics, the right space, the right location that fits for your ideal patient with the right deal points, the right landlord or the right owner, the best space that aligns for your practice economically and everything otherwise. And then on top of it, it's like, wow, like this, I got the sign and all those things. Awesome. That's the icing on the cake. But don't just chase the corner and the tallest signs and say, ooh, this real estate is good because of these elements. There are hundreds of other deal points to consider when you're going through from a real estate perspective. So don't chase signs. Don't chase pretty buildings. The second thing is, I would say one of the biggest pitfalls I see with a lot of real estate, and this is even things that I've had clients even come to our team with, is they're chasing the purchase instead of the opportunity. What I mean by that is a lot of times people are thinking about like, I want to own real estate. Cool. I think ownership of real estate, whether that's commercial or residential or multi-tenant type buildings, I think it's a great philosophy from a financial perspective. Now, full disclosure, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't represent any financial advising firm by any means. However, I would say like real estate probably should be a part of your long-term portfolio, but it doesn't have to mean that the real estate that you own houses your practice. It could be other real estate. So there are times where people think they come in and they draw the line and say, I'm going to own real estate. When you say I'm only going to chase ownership of real estate, you have literally blocked out so many more opportunities because you're saying I'm only going to purchase as opposed to let me look at purchases and leases. I would say keep your options available, because if you just chase the purchase, you're going to sacrifice the opportunity, because a couple of things are at play here. The biggest thing is the abundance of opportunities to purchase in most anywhere in the country is going to be far less than the opportunities, the actual number of properties to lease. It could be like one purchase for every 10, 15, 20, 50 opportunities to lease. Like true, like that is what that number is. So you may find that one purchase and go, wow, I could purchase. Oh, but if you say, I'm going to purchase and say, I don't really care as long as I can own, because I was told somewhere at a dental society meeting, true story, I've heard this before, where I was told by another dentist, I should only own real estate. How can you make that claim to say only own real estate? That has eliminated a lot of opportunities that could be better suited for the right location, that has better economics, the right side of the street, and more very importantly, is actually aligned and near your ideal patients. So if you ended up purchasing and saying, I've purchased, I now own, but I'm in an area that is maybe underserved, but underserved in a way that doesn't fit your ideal demographic, your ideal patient. It's on the wrong side of the tracks, basically. It's not the right size space for growth. The economics are poor, but you own. Congrats. You now own a piece of real estate that won't actually help grow your practice. Because keep in mind, the investment that you have the most control over, the value of, is your practice. So I think real estate is a great opportunity. Now, I'm not saying don't own. I would say don't place ownership over the opportunity for your practice. Now, there are pros and cons to purchases. And I talk a lot about that at our course at Startup Practice. We have a course twice a year called Startup Practice Blueprint. I talk about this a lot at our course and go into like those different elements of leases versus purchases. And there's a ton of pros and cons when it comes to leasing and purchases. And just a few when it comes to the leases is simply like the abundance. There's going to be a lot more available properties to purchase than there are leases, plain and simple. Your out-of-pocket expenses when it comes to a purchase are going to be more because keep in mind, you are the landlord. So you're fronting or you're going to be financing or funding the entire construction. You are also going to have usually greater down payment. Funding is way different when it comes to real estate purchases. I'll talk about funding in a different time, but the funding looks different when it comes to your real estate as well. So you're going to come out of pocket for a much greater out of pocket expense in terms of your stepping in point when it comes to a purchase than it is for lease. So if you're a young associate, been out for dental school for a couple of years, you've got student loans, maybe you're making some life decisions around a purchase of home. Maybe you have a family or family on the way and it's like, oh, we want to move out of the apartment. We want to own a real estate or own a home. And depending on what the loan mortgage environment is, you may be making kind of a life decision of, do I own my commercial real estate for my practice or do I keep this for my down payment for my home? That is a life decision for a lot of people. So abundance of available properties, number one. And number two is down payment, out-of-pocket expenses. A lot of other nuances and a lot of other elements I could talk almost for hours on, like purchases versus leases. But big thing is here, don't place the opportunity, don't chase real estate ownership over the opportunity for the growth of your practice. If you do that, then your practice will struggle. One of the most important things, and when I'm at our course, I talk about this. Number one is, I have this oath at our practice. I make everyone say it at the course. And the oath is this, I will not call the phone number on the real estate sign, please. Unless you are a seasoned veteran of commercial real estate and seasoned, you have transacted maybe 100 transactions or more, don't call the real estate sign. The second that you do, you're driving around one night, you're coming home from work and you're like, wow, beautiful space. Oh, I'm going to call the phone number. It's not a big deal. This won't be anything. This won't hurt. Yes. The second the person on the other line is the person who represents that owner or that landlord. When you engage into a conversation, you put yourself into that conversation of a negotiation. You don't have the proper, what we call posture in that transaction at that point. And whatever it's almost like what they say if you ever get arrested, I've never been arrested. Anything you say or will do can be held against you in a court of law or something like that. That's kind of how commercial real estate operates. Anything you say or do can be held against you in this negotiation of real estate. So if you engage in the conversations of real estate, you're basically representing yourself. And do not think for a second, if you are representing yourself, you will get a better deal. This is what we talk about at the course. I talk about this and say, it's called the tale of two deals. There are two transactions, literally almost like probably like two sheets of paper, like what we call letters of intent or LOIs or proposals. Generally speaking here, LOIs. These are non-legally binding documents that basically outline like the deal points of the real estate itself. Guess what? There's two. There's probably one that says, oh, hey, Dr. X, you're here. Here's one. Take a look at this. And you're like, wow, I don't know anything about this, but this looks great. And then when you're properly represented by a commercial real estate agent that has done this hundreds of times, they have a different deal. That deal will look way different. Why? Because you have somebody that's seasoned, somebody that has done this hundreds of times to properly represent you so that you're not put in a bad position. Because this is what I was talking about earlier is what you say in that it's done. Like if you've already said it, it's done. You're in that. So it's hard to kind of like, if you kind of like put all the pieces back, if you've already had those initial conversations with the person on the other side of the phone. And guess what? They are representing the landlord. They're not representing you. So you need to have proper representation. You need to have somebody that does tenant representation. You are the potential tenant. You need to have somebody that's not representing the building or the landlord because there's no such thing in real estate as dual representation. No one represents like both landlord and tenant because that would be a horrible conflict of interest because the person that's representing the landlord wants the most expensive transaction and the person that's representing you wants a better transaction for you. The other thing about proper representation is make sure that the person that's representing you A, has done this lots of times. They understand the dental transaction. And B, that they are going to work hard on your behalf. One of the things that we do when we work with a lot of real estate agents across the country is, you know, we want to be able to have those standards of in there. One of the things I cannot stand of agents I have never worked with before, we've never worked with, it's like if they're in a marketplace, is when they say the words, yeah, we really don't do it like that around here. Well, it's commercial real estate. And I understand that maybe that agent and the other agents representing the landlord, once they get the lease signed, they go out and have a couple of drinks and cocktails afterwards and have dinner and high five. But you, this is your life. This decision can affect you a decade or two forward. So it's not just about the economics. Yes, rent rates are important. Yes, if you have a tenant improvement allowance in your lease, yes, all those things. All the deal points are so important. The most important part is the next phase. As you get into the lease, the letter of intent sets the standard for the lease. Letter of intent goes into the lease. The more that the agents are kind of battling and duking it out with the LOI, the better off you will be. Because once a lease or once an LOI goes into the next phase, which is a lease, then it's in the hands of attorneys. And attorneys are going to say, great, what'd you all negotiate? Now, there's a few things, obviously, they can look through and they'll negotiate and things like that. But now, guess what you're doing? You're paying somebody. You're paying your attorney more than likely per hour and things like that in order to be representing it. So they're going to get paid whether you transact or not. The real estate agents, however, they get paid when there's actually a transaction. So if there's a greater time and there's more emphasis and the letter of intent is more robust and it spells out the more details, while it's not legally binding, it sets the stage for the lease. The better your, the stronger your letter of intent is in a lease, the better your lease will be. And that's when the agents are still battling out. So if they're battling for this, then that's a good thing for you to be able to move it into the lease. Because at that point, then you're on the clock, as you say, when it comes to your lease and who you're paying at that point, which is your landlord who's representing you. So don't represent yourself. It's the tale of two deals. Avoid that. The other element, so you need to have an agent. You need to have a really good attorney. If you're, and by the way, when it comes to an agent, the person that helped you find your home is not an agent for you. Commercial real estate with dental experience, lots of dental experience, preferably. Your attorney also needs to have that kind of experience because there needs to be a great communication that's there. Your brother-in-law that's an attorney that does intellectual property, not a good fit for leases. Somebody that does your personal attorney or somebody that does your wills and things like that, probably not a good fit. Somebody that understands real estate, business law that has transacted. There's a lot of great attorneys out there that can help like in that space that negotiate this very, very well. Make sure that you surround yourself with really good people because it's not just the deal today, it's the deal tomorrow. So make sure that you have the proper representation. Is it expensive? Yes, but it's way more expensive later. What I mean by that is you may be looking and go, oh my gosh, I got to pay an attorney this. Yeah. What you invest in an attorney today could save you tens of thousands of dollars a decade or two from today when you decide, hey, I'm going to sell my practice. And all of a sudden a landlord goes, okay, great. So you're selling the practice. Awesome. Okay. Well, you're still on the lease. Well, wait a minute. I'm still on the lease. I don't own the practice anymore. Well, that's what your lease states. Maybe you didn't have a very good attorney to understood that you need to be released from that in the event that you do sell your practice. Yes, folks, you, if you don't have proper representation, you can have a lease that says you're on there in perpetuity, basically forever. And also when it comes to negotiating yourself is when I talk about the real estate agent, landlords, when they're in a lease or a purchase, the owner of that building has factored in. Now, this is because this is kind of a fallacy that I don't hear it very often as much, but every once in a while I run into it. And it's this. I heard I can get a better deal if I don't have my own agent because then that commission will go to me or the landlord's going to save it. They're going to give me a better deal. No. What's going to happen is the landlord or the owners is going to pocket that commission if you're not represented by anybody. You're not going to get it back because they've already factored in to the rent rate, what they're going to give in terms of like dollars and cents towards your construction, which is called a tenant improvement allowance. They've already factored into that transaction paying two agents, the agent that's representing them and the agent that's representing the prospective tenant, in this case, you, into that transaction. So thinking that you're going to save thousands of dollars if you represent yourself because you don't have an agent, nope, you're probably going to spend maybe tens of thousands of dollars even more because, again, they slid across the table the other deal. The other deal, which is, oh, you represented by yourself, that deal looks way different. So don't get yourself crossed up into that bad transaction. That is life-altering. It could really be damaging. So as a recap this, when it comes to real estate, avoid some of these big, big mistakes. Number one is this. Make sure that you're not just chasing pretty signs and pretty buildings and tall signs and corner lots. Look, you know, street off of there, look a block away. You may find yourself with 20 to 30% savings. Number two is this. Don't just chase the idea of ownership over the opportunity for the growth of your practice. Make sure that you are looking at purchases and leases. Give yourself options. The more options that you have, the better you are in the leverage and the posture into those transactions that you enter into. Because if you only have one option, they're going to know that you are, that they are the sole option for that commercial real estate purchase or lease in that particular case. So don't just chase purchase over the opportunity. And also in purchases and lease, keep your options available. See what is available within that marketplace. That way you have options. That way you don't feel like you're forced into a transaction. And then last and most important is this. Don't call the number on the sign. So like if you're sitting there or if you're driving, repeat after me. I state my name. I will not call the phone number on the real estate sign. Please don't. I know you're driving by every morning. You see this beautiful new building going up or you're driving home at night. Resist the temptation. Have a plan. Have representation. Have the right agent. Have the right legal team before you step into that. So if you want to learn more about, like, we dive into so many more topics even beyond this real estate, but we really get into the nitty gritty, then check out, we do a 2-day course. I talked about this earlier called Startup Practice Blueprint. So go to www.startuppracticeblueprint.com. This course is twice a year. 2 days immersive of going through like our 13 stage process in detail. We always have 25 to 30 associates, like-minded people that are looking to take that next leap into their careers. A ton of great information, great experts that can give you even more depth on this topic and a lot more. So that's a wrap. I hope this gave you some insights on the real estate world. Don't forget to check out the show notes for any links and resources we talked about today. Next time, we're going to talk about how to ensure that your insurances are all set up properly. And we're going to talk about credentialing. I'll see you there. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.